Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Punta Rica! It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into the show. And do we have a show for you here tonight? Andrew Carlson behind the glass. Victor Ariza here, just running into studio right now. Eddie Robinson, he'll be on with me the first two segments. If you want to call into the show tonight, it's 713-780-3776. We'll talk everything from Liverpool losing two in a row, including getting smacked by Watford 3-0. The dream of breaking the record of the Gunners in Arsenal is over. We'll talk about that tonight. We've got Zarek Valentin of the Houston Dynamo on tonight. We're going to talk a little rock and roll with him. We're also going to talk some soccer with him. Eddie Robinson in studio, as mentioned. Robbie Musto of NBC is even going to... I'm going to ask him about Arsenal for my producer, Andrew Carlson. And then Sporting Kansas City's Peter Vermees will be on the show. By the way, every time I've ever asked over all these years to have Peter Vermees on the show, he has never turned me down once. Which is pretty remarkable. So it's a good thing. Now, on a little bit of a somber note here, tonight's show is dedicated to Gil Coe. Now, I've met Gil and I've interacted with him via social media at the stadium with my friends Sergio and Carlos Martinez. He suddenly passed away. So what I want to do here is I'm going to read a note from his great friend Sergio Martinez. And here it is as follows. Quote, Gil Coe was a Houston legend to those who knew him. He didn't grow up playing soccer, but like many of us, fell in love with the sport. As well as his love for the U.S. national teams, his two teams he supported was the Houston Dynamo and Barcelona. He loved going to Dynamo games and even had the chance to visit the hallowed Camp Nou. He was dialed in on many things, music, literature, pop culture, and sports. He thought Messi was the greatest of all time. Many of his posts about Messi just said in big letters, wow, exclamation point. Gil thought Rose Lavelle was the future of the women's game. He was a big fan of Soccer Matters and Glenn Davis in general. He'll be missed by many in the Houston community and was forever orange. And tonight, again, the show is dedicated to Gil Coe. Rest in peace. That was from Sergio Martinez and, of course, his brother Carlos. Friends with Gil, and I know many of you out there were friends with Gil as well. If you want to call in with a Gil story, you certainly can do that. We're talking Dynamo here tonight, 713-780-3776. Co-host tonight is the one and only Eddie Robinson. Buddy, you ready for Cube Television this weekend, our first broadcast of the year?
I am very excited.
I'm pumped.
I'm really looking forward. I wish we could have done the Galaxy game this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
But good. It was
I'm
on
upset
national
at Univision
TV.
For that.
Huge
view
numbers.
I want somebody's head at Univision for taking that game from us.
Hey, right? Look, there's huge viewing numbers. They came out today.
I mean, of course.
Overall, the league up, I think, 3%. I think it was the biggest national broadcast of Major League Soccer. I'm trying to remember what it was, but it was huge. I read it today on Univision. It was the biggest opening day.
Yeah, I think the ratings, rating-wise, biggest opening day ever. By the way, 59,000 in Nashville. We had the great LAFC Carlos Vela chip. We had Zela Rayan turning and spinning and hitting the side netting. The nine new players from Liga MX all did very, very well. Let's talk about Chicharito. Let's talk about the Dynamo game and your first impressions. The one thing I'm hearing consistently from everybody is, wow, how much more organized this team looks.
Well, I think that remains to be seen. Listen, I can guarantee you there's not a bigger Dynamo fan out there than I am. I love the Dynamo. It's in my blood. It's who I am. It's who I'll always be. But I don't think LA Galaxy was very good. I don't think they challenged the Dynamo, especially the Dynamo back four. It's going to be interesting to see this weekend against Kansas City in the next few weeks what this team is really all about. Didn't create a lot of chances going forward. I was a little bit disappointed, but defensively they did well against Pavone and Chicharito. I think if you shut down Pavone, Chicharito is going to have a really hard time. I think the Dynamo did a really good job with that. Very disappointed with the defending on Pavone's goal. What a finish. What an absolute finish. But there's absolutely
what a piece of
no way
distribution too from David Bingham. Holy
that Matias Vera and Kiki Struna can let him cut back inside. That was poor defending. But other than that, I mean, a fantastic atmosphere in the stadium with the sellout. A good start to the season. You know, Tab Ramos, he said in the media he was a little bit nervous, had some butterflies. I think he's got that out of the way now. And I expect him to just get better as well.
All right. So what I was saying was this. If you're looking at a first game in MLS for any team, nobody expects any team to be hitting full cylinders. The Dynamo go into this without Darwin Quintero, their big offseason signing. They go in without La Panterita, Albert Elise. So it's very different. But when I look for subtleties and I look for things that tell me progress is being made in a short 6 weeks for a coach, and I compare it to last year, to a team that looked off the rails for a large portion of the season, off the rails, crazy train, Ozzy Osbourne style. Okay, what I was looking for was a basis to build off. And I saw that for a first day opening game in certainly organization, certainly in this implementation of a 4-3-3 pressing game, which Tab Ramos very much favors, and he will use going into Sporting. That's going to be like two ships butting in the night with a Peter Vermes 4-3-3.
It's going to be interesting. And we talk about subtleties and differences. One of the things that I noticed with the Dynamo, when they entered the attacking third, last year it was a bit frantic. It was a bit hectic. And at times, what are you doing? That would be my question. But on Saturday, there were moments where they got into the final third, especially in the wide areas. It wasn't just a random cross. They didn't just smash it for a goal and hope some happened. They kept possession, some short passes, moved the ball, switched the point of attack, which for me was refreshing because I haven't seen that a lot over the last 4 years, that a team that is composed when they enter the final third and not strictly reliant on Albert Elise and Marvin Otis to score goals. So that for me was quite refreshing to see, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of that.
Eddie Robinson joining us in studio. We got the call on the Cube this weekend, and we'll do it again against Seattle the following weekend, and we'll have a third member of our team, Cindy Bourbano, joining us. Yeah, to that statement, I think some of the best tight combination play we've seen, and I think this is a system that will bring the best out of, like, a Memo Rodriguez. Now, if this was a Wilmer Cabrera team, I would say I'm not sure Memo is the starter for me because this guy's got to track back 70 yards. It doesn't enhance him. This team, I see him, he's a starter on this team because the game's being played in the half of the field of the opponent. The pressing game wins you the ball back early if you do the work. And then you're catching defenses pulling out. Maybe they lose their shape, and you got guys like Memo. You got guys that can pass the ball. Tomas Martinez, Darwin Quintero, Mauro Menotas in combination. So I think this is exciting. And to Memo's credit, I thought Memo was very confident running at people and taking people on. So this system benefits, and this coach benefits a Memo Rodriguez.
He is, and I'll be honest, Glenn. I would like to see Memo play in the middle of the field. I'd like to see
him as a
10.
So where are you going to put Darwin?
He's extremely creative.
But Darwin Quintero's in.
These are the questions that are going to need to get answered. I mean, we as fans, we don't get to see what goes on in training every day. We don't get to see how sharp Darwin is.
We did today, though.
Yes. But every single day, we don't get to see how sharp Darwin is, what he brings when he plays with that first-choice attacking 4, 5, 6 players. So it's going to be interesting. I would love to see Memo in the middle of the field. I think Tomas Martinez has got some serious growing to do from a creativity standpoint. He works hard, good personality, good in the locker room from what I understand. But when it comes to delivering what a number 10 is, I'm not sure that he's the player for it.
Well, I think you just brought a great point up because, you know, now how do these two guys get integrated back in the team? So we'll give our listeners a little bit of an update here. Albert Elise was on the side training with a fitness trainer on his own. He was there. Darwin Quintero was in full training. So, you know, we could see his debut against Sporting Kansas City. That may be good for us. Or he could come off the bench for Tab Ramos. But what I saw down there today on a Tuesday after a day off was a lot of small-sided games, a lot of sharpness, and a coaching staff led by Tab Ramos really all about you win the ball, you play quickly. And it's a tempo game, and it's a fast tempo, and it's a thinking game.
Yeah, when you look back at the successful Dynamo teams of the past, intensity and tempo were two of the main things that these teams had, and that's something that's been lacking. And I really like that aggression, that when you win it, go, get after it, making sure that back four – They're maintaining a good rest defense. They're making sure that no counterattacks come against the Dynamo. Let those front four or five get after it. Let them be creative. Let them have some fun. And I think that we'll see a lot of good chances created for the Dynamo.
So here's a soundbite from Tab Ramos talking about how Tab, was pleased with what his team did.
You know, I'm pleased with it. Obviously, we want to win the game. You know, we're home. Anytime you don't win at home, you know, you feel like you're leaving something, you know, and that's something that we're going to have to get somewhere else, which is difficult. But I'm happy with where the team is at this point, considering the absences we have. But sometimes, you know, missing players is an opportunity for other players, and they have to take advantage of that. And I think a few guys did a pretty good job today.
Well, that's what Tab said about the team. And then he went on to say and speak about the areas of improvement that he'd like to see.
I think a lot of things. You know, we pride ourselves and sort of built the team so that we can play the ball wide and get the ball open so that we can have, you know, 1v1s on the wings. And we did that a lot. It must have been 30, 40 times that we found ourselves in good positions wide. We need to work on a little bit on what happens after, because I think we got ourselves in good position. We won the ball back on their half of the field many times, which is what we want to do. But I think our final ball was not a good one. I think our running in the box was not great. And we need to move a little bit better in order to find the openings in the box.
But this is natural. We expect unforced errors. We expect mistakes on opening day. Every game I watched, and I watched way too many soccer games this weekend, but I enjoyed it. I will say every single game included teams making unforced errors via the ball, bad decisions, goalkeepers running over their own center backs. There was a lot of that, and that's to be expected.
I'm going to tell you, I it's so refreshing to hear somebody be so honest, because everything that he just said about getting the ball into wide areas and then not getting the final product has been everything that's been wrong with the Dynamo attack for the past 3 years. And to hear him say that, know that he's recognizing it, and know that that's being addressed week in, week out, is so refreshing. It's so refreshing because there's not far to go. That's the one thing. I mean, they are close. They're so close with the quality of players and the way that they want to play and the type of players that they have to match that. They're right there. But I just love hearing Tab address the fact that we've got a little bit better once we get to those positions.
I think what fans have to really like here, and we've got Eddie Robinson in studio here again, our first broadcast this weekend, hope you're going to tune in to see it, is 7:30 on the Cube. It is the Houston Dynamo at Sporting Kansas City. Now, let's not forget, that is their home opener. They're going to be going nuts. You'll hear from Peter Vermes later on. I'm going to ask him about what's the lead up like in Kansas City via the media, via the fans ahead of this. We're trying to give you, and we are giving you, the most comprehensive coverage of the Houston Dynamo on this show. We're going to unabashedly say that. It's kind of like when the Rolling Stones invented, we're the world's greatest rock and roll band. Well, we are covering the Dynamo better than anybody in the city, and we intend to keep on doing that with your help. 713-780-3776. Did you watch the Sporting game? Because I did.
Yes.
That's a dangerous team. And by the way, who the heck is Gadi Kinda? Because this Ethiopian who's been playing in Israel was unbelievable.
You know, that's the funny thing about MLS is there's always a coach every year that finds a player that no one knows about. But man, are they dangerous. Man, are they good players that, hey, we don't know anything about this guy. We don't know what to expect. And Peter Vermes, I think, has found himself one here in the 25-year-old.
Yeah, and by the way, one man from Chivas, a man named Alan Pulido. Mm. How impressive was he? And by the way, the goal he scores off the head, I mean, that's all him, making something out of nothing.
You know, it's frustrating to see all these teams in Major League Soccer sign these Mexican superstars, but yet Houston just can't find a way to do it, given our proximity and all of the Mexican fans here that would come out in droves to support a player like that. You've got to hope that the Dynamo are looking to do that at some point in the near future.
Victor Ariza put together for me nicely here the nine signings this year. Nine signings from Liga MX. Alan Pulido, Oswaldo Alanis, who, by the way, had the tying goal for San Jose in a 3-3 match. Lucas Zelarayan, who had that beautiful spin and hit for Columbus in their 1-0 win over New York City FC. Pedro Galiz, from Veracruz. Edson Flores. Lucas Cavallini, playing for Vancouver, was dangerous up front. Rodolfo Pizarro, obviously, with Monterrey. That's a work in progress. Inter Miami, Felipe Mora and Fernando Mesa. So there were five players from Liga MX last year. Now it's nine. So it's almost a 50% increase. We're bad. We're nationwide. We're ZZ Top. Eric, when we come back, we'll go right to you. Tonight, big night. Eddie Robinson in studio for another segment. We've got Tom Marshall of ESPN FC. We've got Peter Vermisa, sporting Kansas City manager. We've got Zarek Valentin tonight, the Houston Dynamo right back, who you're going to find some things out about him you didn't know. And you've also got Robbie Musto, NBC, talking Premier League. Take a break here. It's all brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, and Advantage BMW Midtown. Go down there, see my good friend Justin. Presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com.
Yeah, we back.
You're going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Favorite song from the Smiths here, no question about it. Very sad to see Yosef Martinez go down with the ACL, likely out for 6 to 9 months. That's a big blow not only to Atlanta United, but that's a big blow to Major League Soccer. As good as he is. A couple of other quick things here. Liverpool got beat, as we also saw, by Watford. They've also been beaten today in the FA Cup 2-0. Robbie Musto is going to comment a lot on that later on, as we'll have a nice long Premier League segment for everybody, including you, Andrew, because I'm going to ask him about your favorite team, Arsenal, and we're going to reveal a little bit about the fact that you are a Gooner. Okay? So, Robbie Musso is going to talk Arsenal.
I do appreciate it.
Yes. Let's go to the phone lines now. Eric wants to tell a story about Gilco, and Gilco, this show's dedicated to him tonight. Eric.
Hello. Yeah, this is Eric Grimaldi. Gil and I always talk about soccer. He always stay tuned about my favorite soccer team from Mexico, Club America. He actually knew many of the soccer players from Mexico, like Chicharito and Rafa Márquez. We, in fact, took a trip to Mexico, and we tried to attend a game in Azteca Stadium to see the Club America, but unfortunately, they were not playing local that weekend. His passion for soccer was beyond a fan. He was the type of person that would know the history of the teams, about the stadium and even the culture. So he loved always sharing his amazing stories and his love for Houston and the Houston Dynamo. Thank you so much, buddy. Thank you for being an amazing friend and everything you shared with me.
Eric, thank you very much for that testimony about Gilco. And everything. My conversations with him were, I met him like in the stadium, and I now know, after Sergio Martinez led me back into the right area mentally, that he used to, I talked to him on Facebook about soccer. He was always talking about it. So, it's very tough. This was extremely unexpected from what I understand, and it's affected people deeply because he was just such a wonderful guy. Not only just a big soccer fan, I'm told he was just one of the most genuine guys you would ever meet. So, it is a sad, sad thing. All right, Eddie, I'm going to switch gears here. Nashville has a unique, first of all, what was cool was a female guitar player behind the goal after the national anthem. That was unbelievable, wailing away. But you just told me something I did not know, so I want you to tell our listeners.
First of all, thoughts and prayers to everyone affected by the tornadoes last night in Nashville. Looked pretty horrific. Hope everyone's okay, but yeah, Nashville put out that for every goal scored, I think assist and major highlight of the game, they have a vinyl press where they are pressing onto a vinyl record the goal calls for the players there, and they will be giving those records to the players post-game. You always thought that the timbers cutting off the hunk of wood and getting to take that home with you and getting engraved was cool. This is cooler. This is as cool as it gets. I want one. Take me out of retirement for a week, Nashville. Let me take a penalty. I want one.
Yeah, 25 years later, when your son, who was 2 or 3, you're going to break out a good bourbon, and you're going to go, son, let me take you back to this date, and here's what your father did, and you're going to put on this beautiful vinyl record, and it won't have a lot of scratches because you won't have played it a lot.
Dad, I'm tired of country music. This ain't country music, boy.
All right, 713-780-3776. Again, tonight's show is dedicated to Gil Coe. We appreciate that testimony from Eric a few minutes ago. We have Zarek Valentin of the Houston Dynamo. We got Robbie Musto coming up. We'll talk Premier League with him, and then Peter Vermees. I'm going to ask Peter Vermees about how they acquired Alan Pulido and what went into that, and also how they acquired this new talent that just basically thrust himself onto MLS in Gadi Kinda, who was a real threat out of midfield in that game. I mean, he was picking up balls and running through people like water against Vancouver. In Vancouver, on artificial surface, by the way.
Yeah, that could be the matchup to watch. Kinda in there with Boniek Garcia, and assuming that Todd Ramos likes what he saw this weekend, probably Matias Vera in there with Tomas Martinez, that midfield battle. But Graham Zusi's, he's not getting any younger, loves to get forward, loves to attack. So if it is Memo Rodriguez out on that left wing again, that's a spot where the Dynamo can exploit when they win the ball. If that first pass can get into that area, if Zusi gets caught forward, I think the Dynamo can really reap the rewards of a counterattack.
So two guys that are former teammates. It's a great storyline here. Todd Ramos against Peter Vermees. They're both relishing this. They're both highly, highly competitive guys, as you very well know, Eddie. They're going to go at it as managers. They do have a lot of similarities in that they love a pressing game. So it's going to be like two boats bumping in the night when they're similar and they both want to be very aggressive. Where do you find a difference? How do you make a difference? Is it execution? Is it simply player performance? Where does the difference come from?
I think the difference will be in the respective back fours. When your team is in possession, in or near the attacking third, are you automatically preparing yourself to defend a counterattack? Because you look at Kyrie Shelton, Pulido, Hurtado, Johnny Russell, Gerso, the pace that Kansas City has up front. And we talked about this, what was a week or two ago when I was in here, the Dynamo back four, they're not the fastest. And if they're going to press, they've got to be high, they've got to keep the field compact to try to win any second balls and prevent the counterattack, but they could be vulnerable in behind. So you got to look for that back four of the Dynamo to always be on alert before the ball turns over. Because once it does, it's too late. If you're not ready, the counterattack goes. I think if the Dynamo can stop the counterattack, I think they've got a great chance to win this game.
By the way, Friday we got a cryptic Instagram from Jose Bizama that showed him with a cast on. And that was, that was a harbinger of things to come, because we found out that he had surgery, I think on Monday, for a fractured leg.
For everything it seemed, it was up for grabs between him and Zarek Valentin. And
I think I was told that he was probably going to get the start because he wasn't preseason. Plus, Zarek had been sick coming back from Arizona. So there you go. But I think the other interesting thing here is this year is the intrigue with managers in this league. Mm. Frank DeBoer in Atlanta, Thierry Henry in Montreal now. To see some of the Guillermo Barscalotto into Houston.
Speaking of Thierry Henry, did you see the new signing? Victor Wanyama from Tottenham? Where did that come from, by the way?
Spurs.
What?
Victor Wanyama. Well, listen, this is the new MLS, right? Yeah. These managers are coming with contacts. They're persuasive. You might want to play for a Thierry Henry. There's more money in this league now, which is very, very clear. We all know Rodolfo Pizarro doesn't get to Inter Miami without David Beckham in a video and the potential of hop, skipping, and jumping over to Europe. I mean, listen, the power of celebrity / historic soccer players It's pretty phenomenal. And I love seeing, like, Henri having to navigate MLS now.
Well, I like to see Frank DeBoer now. He doesn't have Joseph Martinez. Yeah. What on earth are they going to do? I mean, where are the goals going to come from?
Yeah, I know there's a lot of speculation, but, you know, maybe they have to get through this time period until the transfer window in the summer.
I'm really interested to see this. Frank DeBoer, how do you manage this now? What adjustments do you make? Can they bring someone else in? That's going to be really interesting to see. And then I'm interested to see.
A lot of pressure on Barco and Pity Martinez now without the tip of the spear, which is Joseph Martinez. I'm broken up about that. I'm broken up about Bazama's injury, too. From a big perspective of MLS, when purportedly or arguably your best player in the league goes down, that hurts everybody, hurts every market.
And this is a player that, golly, if he had had another year this season like he had the last two and scores 25, 30 goals, it's inevitable. He's being sold. He's going overseas. Now that just continues to add credibility to this league, and that it's not a retirement league, that it is developing players, that players from Central and South America think they have a better chance of moving on to Europe by coming to Major League Soccer versus going to Mexico or somewhere else.
See what Atlanta does. Ability to sign players is still there. Let's see what happens. But they go big. There's no question about that. They go big. Now, let's go to Liverpool because, you know, as we were very focused on the 25th season of Major League Soccer, Liverpool was playing Watford. Troy Deeney got a third. Sarri got two in that one. It was a rough performance from Liverpool. There's a lot of people saying that they saw this maybe potentially coming. Now, before today's FA Cup loss, I would have said, well, maybe this is a blessing in disguise. Let's look at this. Playing devil's advocate and say, okay, now you don't have to worry about the whole beating Arsenal's record. And it's purely a focus now that's going to shift more heavily to winning the European Cup / the Champions League for the second consecutive year. You're in the driver's seat for the Premier League. Outside of Manchester United fans who are teasing him about not being able to do the treble, I would have thought to myself, maybe this is a good thing.
I thought the same thing. That there's just some relief. There's a let off of pressure. There's just something you don't have to talk about. Maybe players are getting annoyed with. I'm certain that that Jurgen Klopp was getting annoyed, having to talk about it week in and week out, letting people know this is not our focus. We're not trying to go undefeated. We want to win the league. We want to win Champions League. We want to win, you would have thought FA Cup, but then when you look at it, and you look at the lineup that was out there, was that the best lineup that they could have had? I mean, no Salah and Firmino.
Game's coming thick.
Curtis Jones in the midfield. Milner on the bench, Oxlade-Chamberlain on the bench. I'm a bit surprised that Jurgen Klopp didn't come with his strongest lineup just to kind of send a message. Yes, we lost. Yes, we didn't play well. We're not going to get this record for undefeated team, all these undefeated records at home, away, in the league, but we still want to win the FA Cup. I was a bit surprised that it was a weekend lineup today.
The other big game, which I enjoyed watching, was El Clasico. Real Madrid 2-0 winners over Barcelona. Vinicius Jr., we put him up 1-0, and then Mariano off the bench. It's lost luster without Cristiano Ronaldo. Still, it's just an amazing assemblage of talent out there. It's two teams that have their own problems. And I see PSG over Dijon. And then my sister, who travels a lot for business, I get a ding on my phone. Hey, I'm at the PSG game. she's at the corner flag and has a picture of Mbappe. And she's with my nephew who's studying over there.
Did he have a hat trick this weekend?
Got a brace. Had two.
Mbappe. Did he have a brace?
He had a brace. He had two.
That's why Andrew Carlson, I get upset when I don't get him because, he's got brace. He's up on the game. He's following Arsenal all the time. I do love your loyalty to Arsenal, by the way. No, I do.
It's a love-hate relationship, Glenn.
I respect that. It's like that famous book, The Agony and the Ecstasy, about Michelangelo.
Remember a lot of agony recently.
Let me tell you something. That is one of the great reads of all time. Agony and the Ecstasy. I don't even know the author's name. It's about Michelangelo and how he had to go up into the mountains and grab big giant pieces of marble It's an incredible, incredible book, Agony and the Ecstasy.
Back to Arsenal. Did we find out what happened to Torreira, what the injury was? He had to come off in the 16th
Andrew?
Minute?
He was in a boot, last I've heard, but he's probably going to be out for a few weeks. But it's not a serious, serious injury that would put his season in jeopardy.
So I'm putting you in the shoes of Todd Ramos. Do you start Darwin Quintero this weekend? He was in full training today.
If he's 100%, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You have to.
And where do you put him and how do you shift things around?
Put him at the 10.
Put him at the 10 and then put Boniek and Vera behind him?
And I would, and again, if Albert Elise is healthy, that's fantastic. That is huge. That is really good for the Dynamo. That becomes a really scary front four that you've got. And if you add Boniek Garcia getting forward into that and his experience and his ability, that gets really
scary.
Could
you be quiet for a second? This is a song I got for you because the rodeo's here.
What you got?
Chris Stapleton.
Oh, yes.
I love Chris Stapleton.
Tennessee whiskey.
I did this for you. I just want you to...
Do you want me to sing along?
If you want, you can. Might be good entertainment.
And brought me back from being too far gone.
I like it. I like it, Eddie.
I got the raspy. You're a smooth. No, I listen,
Tennessee whiskey.
I'd like to see that front four. I'd like to see Memo Rodriguez and Darwin Quintero given some flexibility. You guys can interchange. You can move around a little bit. Mauro, stay in the middle, but the rest of you try to create confusion. Move around. If he's fit, I want to give him carte blanche. Go for it. Boniek, stay back.
It's going to be a great game.
He doesn't need to worry about defending. Get after it. Score some goals. Try to get something early and get some momentum.
It's a good opener for us, too, by the way. Sporting Kansas City. The games are always sold out. It's going to be unbelievable. Sporting Kansas City, Houston Dynamo. It'll be on the Cube. And then it's Seattle coming to town. HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. By the way, Manchester United is taking on Manchester City Sunday. There'll be a few eyeballs on that one as well. We're going to take a break here. Again, a big thank you to Hugh O'Connors out on I-10, the home of the Liverpool supporters groups. I don't have too much sympathy for them, although I know there's probably a little nervous tension with Ian Veery and company, because you have been winning all year long and things are still looking very bright. And a big thank you to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. They're going to work 24/7 for you. It's DaspitLaw.com. That's where you go. They are bilingual. You get in a car accident, motorcycle, bike, you name it, boat, drive an 18-wheeler. They will cover you. They'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, presenting sponsor here on ESPN 97.5 and also on the sister show in Austin on The Horn. We'll take a break. Chris Stapleton takes us to break. As a glass of brandy
and honey, I stay strong. ESPN 97.5.
Moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 as we continue on here. Big weekend. Houston Dynamo taking on Sporting Kansas City. It's an opener for Sporting Kansas City. That adds some additional pressure, but the Dynamo coming off a solid start. 1-1 draw at home against the LA Galaxy and Chicharito on a day that saw a sold-out crowd here in Houston. This next interview, again, brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. You might get in an accident. You need support from a good law firm. You get it from them. Might be a motorcycle, industrial construction, plant or refinery. It's DaspitLaw.com. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends, and I thank them for being the presenting sponsors of our show and bringing soccer to the airwaves. Joining us now, one of the stars of that game, he is Dynamo right back, Zarek Valentin. Zarek, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, so I'm gonna get this out of the way real fast here. I hear you are a huge rocker. You're a rock and roll fan. And, of course, you like the band that I love, the Rolling Stones.
I do. I got a bunch of slack on my Twitter because my brother and I mean, you don't obviously pick bands, but if I had to go back, we had a Stones Beatles chat, and I'm on Team Stones. Obviously, the Beatles don't get me wrong, but it's just a little personal preference, and they're definitely top three favorite bands for me, hands down.
Yeah, just, you know, did you get to see him on the last tour?
I didn't, sadly. I know I actually had looked into it because they went to Seattle, and it was the day before we traveled to Philadelphia. I remember it very specifically, and I remember thinking, do I do it? Do I drive 3 hours, go see them, drive back three, into travel? But then the professional in me sadly had to pass. But
wise decision.
Hopefully it's not, I don't miss it again.
Yeah, so I probably shouldn't tell you I was in the pit for three shows on the last tour, so I won't do that.
Oh, that's great. No,
right,
yeah,
up against the stage. I mean, it was like watching cadavers play instruments.
I can only imagine. I mean, yeah, of course.
When you think Sympathy for the Devil and you're staring into Keith Richards' eyes. But man, what a band. Okay, so let's get down to business here. This was a good opener for you guys. And of course, you laid on that key pass tomorrow, Manotas. But I think what a lot of people don't know is you weren't feeling very good up to this game. And you also only trained twice, I think, during the week.
Yeah. It was quite the rough return from Tucson. Kiki was sick. Sorry, my son's excited in the background.
No, that's
well.
Okay. You heard us talking Stones.
Kiki had a bug in Tucson, which is why he wasn't playing for some of those games, if obviously the fans are following them. And we rode in the same van, and he got myself and a few other guys a little cough, and I got it pretty bad. I had actually only missed 2 days of training in my 10 years professionally, and I missed another two additional just with this sickness. I was knocked out from it. So I didn't feel great. But ultimately, you know, I had a solid base of fitness, and unfortunately, Jose, you know, had a pretty, pretty decent injury. So I only got to train once coming back from my sickness, and then a second time, and you know, he went down, and it's, you know, go time, and then suddenly you got to revert back to those instincts. And thankfully, I've accumulated a decent amount of experience in the MLS, so I wasn't completely shell shocked by any means going out there and playing against, you know, Pavone or Perry Kitchen or a few of the guys that I've played against a few times.
Talking to Zarek Valentin, do you sometimes play your best game when you're injured or you're sick because you have to think a little bit differently about how you're going to play the game?
I think there's definitely something to that. I think another big thing to that is also just playing kind of on a whim without thinking. You know, for example, if somebody were to go down injured in the 10th minute and you have to get up and get on the pitch without warming up, you know, ideally, you know, you don't do that. But a lot of times guys come on and do very well strictly because they don't have to think. And it's just they go back to instincts and they react and suddenly they build themselves into the game. So I think that might have been one of those cases where I kind of just, late, you know, the day before the game found out I was going to play. And then, you know, you tune in and you're ready to go.
Kind of like diamond in the deep end, huh?
Something like that.
Yeah. Zarek Valentin joining us at the Houston Dynamo. You know, one thing that a lot of people have commented about watching this team on, you know, in this first game is just how much more organized it is. And then this wonderful pressing game that really allows you guys to play the game as much as possible in an opponent's half of the field.
Yeah, it's definitely one of these things where it's new to me. It's a new style of play that I haven't played in my time professionally. In Norway, we were known as the Norwegian best counterattacking team. Mm-hmm. Up the line, the midfield, at home, away, in the parking lot, wherever we might be playing. That was pretty much the way we went about it. So obviously, you know, that starts, you know, from the top, and obviously Tab came in with the system and worked it, you know, to the best of his abilities in the 6 weeks of preseason, I think we had. Yeah. And then suddenly you try to implement that, and obviously, you know, in preseason you're allowed to make mistakes and the points don't matter, but then suddenly on Saturday, you know, the points start mattering and little moments can make or break games. So I think it's a fun way to play. Obviously, it involves a lot of communication, a lot of organization and things like that, which makes being loud on and off the field pretty decent. But I think that there's a lot to be excited about in this Dynamo team, and I hope that the fans saw that this first weekend.
So how does your game have to change now that it's a different style of play that maybe you haven't played throughout your career? How does your game change, if at all?
It doesn't actually change a crazy amount, to be completely honest. I'm always someone who's pretty loud and vocal. So when you talk through certain moments, higher or lower on the field, that's something I'm completely comfortable doing. To the point where my teammates actually get tired of hearing my voice. Sorry, guys. So that's just something where, you know, that comes naturally. Obviously, tactically and stuff like that, you know, you have to work out things on the training pitch. And you were at training today. We had a chat, obviously, beforehand. So you see, you know, a lot of positive conversations with the coaching staff and with players to try to develop chemistry as quick as possible. Obviously, I'm also still the new guy, so I'm still working on some of those relationships, you know, whether it's with Kiki or Tommy or Albert or Darwin or whoever it might be, you know, trying to better those as quickly as possible so that, you know, you can reap those benefits in the game. And, you know, speaking of which, one of those I've, you know, tried to work on it is with Mauro. So, you know, thankfully we were able to connect on the first goal and once or twice other in some pretty decent positions. So for myself, it's trying to get those partnerships and those relationships, you know, polished as quick as possible so that the team can benefit.
Today I was at training and I saw Todd Ramos just, you know, he wants you guys playing quick. And this is entertaining. This is also an exciting type of football for the fan.
Yeah, oh, it's the best type of football for the fans. You know, I've played some boring games in my career, to be completely honest. And I don't think there will be too many of those, obviously, here in Houston. But a lot of it also does come with, you know, some risk rewards, to trying to pick and choose moments the best way possible to reap those benefits. And Tab was, you know, an incredible attacking player in his time. You know, just look up his highlight reel on YouTube or, you know, speak to some former players and see how highly they speak of him. So he understands the aspect of, you know, not limiting players in the attacking third in terms of creativity and, you know, letting players be free and express themselves. But obviously defensively knows that we need to have some sort of shape and discipline and things along those lines, or whether we go high cues and whatever it might be. So it's been a fun process to kind of go through that and, you know, go through the ups and downs. I've learned as you get older, you know, you have to kind of embrace and enjoy the struggle of it as well. Because if you get, you know, bogged down and upset, you know, the seasons go very, very quickly. So when you get upset, you know, those moments can lead into the weekend. So it's best to just kind of keep trucking forward and keep a positive attitude and use that mindset to get better every day and enjoy the process.
Talking to Dynamo defenders, Eric Valentin laid on the beautiful weighted pass to Mauro Minotas that led to the Dynamo first goal here in 2020. Got him a 1-1 draw with the LA Galaxy and Chicharito. Now, Sporting Kansas City had a, and I watched this full game, and I'm sure you guys have already watched tape on it. They had a good start in Vancouver, 3-1 win. Johnny Russell's a guy, or Gerso, you know, these are guys that might be on the same side of the field as you, Polito. Obviously, you guys watch a lot of tape. They do have some real threats up front.
Tell me about it. In my opinion, Johnny Russell is one of the top five wingers in the entire league. You know, I put him right up there with the Carlos Vela's of the world in terms of being able to run at you at pace. Incredible left foot, but is comfortable going right. So, you know, if you shade too much left, he'll cut down the line, put in a decent cross with his right. And then, you know, God forbid you give him too much time, you know, cutting inside on his left foot, you know, he can put the ball wherever he wants. So there's guys like that. And obviously Gerso, I've, you know, had some battles with him in the past as well. And then obviously they bring in guys like Kyrie Shelton, you know, who's done well in the MLS. And then they have Shallowy, you know, as well. So they're a very deep team with a lot of good players. And obviously they're new DP forward as well. So they're a very good attacking group. And, you know, having spent a little bit of time with Peter on a Generation Leaders trip way back in the day after my second year professionally, I know that they weren't happy with the way last year went. That's going to be very evident. And I know that they had vowed to make changes to become a better team. So if anybody goes into Kansas City this year and takes them lightly, they're probably going to end up losing. So that's something we need to be aware of. And obviously Kansas City is one of the tougher places to play in the entire league. And that's something that, you know, you have to go in there and you might have to rope it up a little bit and make some plays defensively. And it might be scrappy at times and it might be ugly, but you got to do what you got to do on the road, and especially in tough places, to get points. And KC is one of those things, and it'll be exciting. And apparently those games get a little bit picante, as they might say, a little spicy because of a little rivalry, from what I've heard. So that's exciting as well. And it's just going to be a fun game. But we know we have to go in there and be focused for 90 minutes or else we can get punished for that.
Zarek, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I think our listeners love this, and we look forward to one day we're going to try to get you up here in studio on a night where we bring some food in and things and talk football, not only Dynamo and MLS, but we'll talk some European stuff as well.
Let me know, and we can also listen to some music.
Yeah, we'll make it a 2 hour, all break music will be Rolling Stones, that's for sure, just to drive that point home to your brother.
Call in for that.
Yeah, we gotta make sure we get your brother straightened out. What does he want to do? Does he want to sing "I Want to Hold Your Hand," or does he want to sing a little bit of "Sympathy for the Devil"? All right, what does he want?
I don't know. The issue switched. He was with me on the whole discard, listening to Revolver, and he's listening to that, and he's like, "Well, you know, just the White Album," and I'm like, "Yeah, I get it." But for me, are incredible band, but they're a little bit bland. You know what I mean? Like Stones, you have to bring the saxophone a little bit. It's, you know, a little more up. And I think they can take their music in different ways.
Yeah, reggae influence, disco influence, punk influence. They got it all. But the Beatles are great, too. I don't want to be on record saying I don't like the Beatles. That's for sure.
Of course, of course. I mean, you're debating between a Bentley and a Lamborghini at this point. It's just a matter of do you want to, you know, drive, you know, a Lamborghini and go fast and look cool, or do you want to kind of go in the Bentley that's a little bit slower and classier? So yeah. I think you can kind of figure out which way you want to go. But, I mean, you can't go wrong either way, realistically.
I close it with this. I want you to be a Lamborghini this weekend. Thank you very much for coming on the show tonight.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Glenn. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
Great fun, Zarek. Thank you very much. That's Zarek Valentin, Dynamo taking on Sporting Kansas City. Next week, it's Seattle in town, HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. We'll take a break here. We got more to come.
ESPN 97.5.